left. She was very rigorous, very challenging. And very rarely does she show a moment of great emotion. But the moment that she reignited, this came to share, which has stayed with me all of my life. I want to share 2 minutes with both of them. Some of us will imagine what it means to be a chosen people. So imagine that the great war, the great battle. The general comes before all the troops and says, we're in a situation where we might win and we might lose. The situation of destiny. We need to find one person who will have the courage ability to cross into the enemy lines. It's very dangerous. You might survive, you might not survive. We have to find that one person, because if that one person can cross the line, we can win the battle, win the war, and come out victorious. And this general casts his eye over all the troops, and he comes to you and says, you are the one. I choose you be our hero, to be our person that will take this risk to save all of us. What is your feeling at that time? Nation, pride, sense of validation of your own mind's abilities, and also tremendous fear, tremendous risk to the fall, danger in the fall. In spite of the danger, in spite of the challenge, the general points and says, you're the one. Immediately sense your life means something. Your life has reached this validation. That's what it means to be a chosen people. In this terminal discussion today, all of you have studied to become Malachim. You have chosen to become leaders in Israel. Today's Yeshua tells you, we are choosing you, individually, each and every one of you, to go out and fight the battle of war, to go into the communities and to raise the level of Jewish life and Jewish concern. It's a heroic and dynamic and dangerous responsibility, and not everyone can handle it. But Yeshiva is telling you, you have been tested, you have spent years here, you are ready. Yeshiva chooses you to represent the Yeshiva, to represent the Torah in our community. Being a rabbi, it's always a challenge, but it's a tremendous adventure. It's the most wonderful gift that anyone can be given. Because you're serving not just a community, you're serving the Torah, you're serving God, you're serving the enemies for that of all generations, past, present, and future. I pray on behalf of the Rabbinic Alumni Yeshiva that all of you will join the ranks of the Rabbinic Alumni and see your lives on a mission as chosen ones to serve the cause of Torah. And always remember, in moments of happiness and moments of bleakness, you have been chosen. The past is yours. God willing, you will succeed.
I would like to call upon the Executive Vice President of the Rabbinical Council of America, Rabbi Dworkin, whom you all know well as being in this department of the Rabbinic Services before I came to it.
Shut up the lamp, Rosh Yeshiva, my own Rebbeim, Rav Weiss, Rav Katz, Chavera, gentlemen. We read in this week's Sedra, Asay Lecha Shtei Chatzal Throat, Yu Lecha Lemikrai Da Olamasa Et HaMachanot. Gemara Menachos on that sentence states, Tana Rabbana, Kol HaKelim Sha'asa Moshe K'shevim Lo V'K'shevim L'Doros Chatzotrot K'sherot Lo U'Psulos L'Doros My Taima D'Amar Kra Asei L'Cha V'Cha V'Lo L'Doros. Gemara has a discussion and has different opinions later on. But if you think of it for a moment, that all of the kelim were prepared with divine command. The chatzotrot, however, the ones that were used to summon B'nai Yisrael, whether it's the occasion, were decreed to be unfit. Because I believe with homiletical license that each generation must in reality, in accordance with its own peculiar problems, fashion its own chasokos. That the menorah, the aron, represent the essence of Yahadus, the timeless traditions and values passed on to us, but the method, the style, the clarion call which we must use has to fit our own generation and our own people. You, B'nai HaYeshiva, have really been trained in the best, the AIM HaYeshiva of America, that you not only learned, of course, Torah and Chochma here, you've been trained professionally to go out into the community and to issue that clarion call. Once you're out there, it'll be the pleasure and the honor of the Rabbinical Council of America to try to assist you, and I'm very proud to say that we work hand in hand and arm in arm with Yeshiva, with DCS, whom we consider to be a most valued ally, and whom DCS and the RCA also considers to be their most valued ally. We hope that in whatever manner we can help you to sound the chatzot throat in whichever community you find yourself, be it in chinuch, in rabbonis, in Jewish communal work, or even as a balabos, as a support to your local rav. If there's any way I personally can be of help to you, or if the organization can be of help to you, we stand ready and able, Amir Hashem, to be with you. We wish you all Hatzlacha Rabba in all that you are going to undertake at this time. May your endeavors be blessed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full measure of blessings, so that in turn you're a source of nachas and joy to the yeshiva, to Klal Yisrael, to yourselves, and to your families. Thank you.
I would like to call upon the dean of the yeshiva, Harav Zvulun Chalav.
Rishus Anotzi, Rishus Rosh HaYeshiva, Rishus Amitai, Osavei Rai, Rosh HaYeshiva, and Rishus Tamidenu, Nichbadimo. I would like to focus just for a moment on what I consider to be an intellectual and a psychological, most importantly, an existential nexus in the life of a rabbi. Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od Yikol Adam Asher Al Hagama. The word Anav is Chaser Yud. There's been much focus on that lack of a Yud. It seems to me that we can relate it to a Malchokis in the Gemara and Sefer. In Dapei Yomid Beis, it's a three-way machlokes. The Kriya Barabashi, Yom HaRav, says, Kol Tamet Chochem Tzor Shiyebo Shmona Bishmidis. Every Tamet Chochem has to have a little guide, at least 1/64th of guide. The reason they picked the number 1/64th, I think, because that's the least, when you multiply, that you get to Bako Bishish. If it's 7/7, 49, Shmona Bishminis is a buckle Bishish. And Rebbe Lezer says, Kisakra, Hamatra L'Shibota. It has to be like an on, or like a topping, the crown. The crown, the kernel of wheat, or the ear of wheat. A Rebbe says, Vishanta, this day, Vishanta Velezbe, it makes no difference. You're darned if you do, and you're darned if you don't. If you have Gaiva, you go into the Therim. you're excommunicated, and if you don't have any guidance, because a rabbi without any svara, without any power, is not prepared to stand up for his position, can't really be a very successful rabbi. And finally, a rabbi comes along, he says, lo minor, lo mitzvah, none at all. This means that Moshe Rabbeinu clarifies this issue from the point and the vantage point I would like to look upon it. When it came to personal, to self, and even there, we see, Moshe, the honor ma'od, mikol adam, asher al adam. There's no doubt about it. But this Moshe was never diffident. He may have been shofel v'stavlon, in the words of Rashi, but he was not diffident. The same Moshe who could say in this week's sefer, and of course you know the Portuguese Moshe on the boat is also in this week's sefer. Vayora tana vayage, and the young man came and said to Moshe, Elder the Medor, the Sabi Maha, Elder the Medor, prophesying in the camp. Vayan Yoshua. And Yoshua answered. The reason Yoshua responded is very simple, because what he was prophesying was Moshe made to Yeshua Yafnisim Larchishol. So Yeshua was in a very difficult position at that moment. Vayomer Lo. And he said to him, Adoni Moshe, claim, get rid of him. And Moshe says, Hamakano Atoli, are you jealous for me? Mi yitei, call Amar Hashem Nevi'im. Alavai, everybody would be a Nevi, all the people. You see, Moshe is completely different. Completely different. He doesn't care about himself, it seems. He's not at all perturbed and disturbed. But this same Moshe, this week, Sedra, by Yitzhala Moshe El Ar Hashem Amar Elazar, he tiach, devorin klapen malah. He was upset. And he complained to God very forcefully and vigorously. It's not Vayispalel Moshe El Arishem, Chazal say, Vayispalel Moshe Al Arishem. Can you imagine the same Moshe Rabbeinu, who's an honor in the old and the cold, the other Mashiach, Al Adam is able to complain to God and speak very sharply. And what is he speaking about? One time he said, Lama Rosa, Lama Zeh. Why do you make it ill for this people? And he was punished. He almost lost his right to go to Eretz Yisrael, and may have been the initial cause of not being able to realize his vision. But over here he says, Loma Rosa Labeb, he's talking about himself, this same Moshe Rabbeinu, who's such an honor. In the very same sentence, he talks about himself. This same Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes in the arena of history, Vayar Ish Mitzri Market, Ishimi Me'echa, he sees it. A Jew being pummeled by a guy. By even call a foe, by Yarginish, by Yah. Also. This same Moshe Rabbeinu confronts Paro. And it seems to me that that's why we have the Chaser Yud here. If you look at any dictionary, look at the word humble, humility, meek, modesty. They all have two directions in the meaning you find in the dictionary. One is that a man is modest. It's a fine attitude, but usually it's one who's distrustful of himself and his own abilities. He's meek, he's afraid, he's timid. That's not the best kind of honor you can have. In order to be honored, ma'od, mikolo, odom, asher, ala, adama, it has to be chaser. If it weren't chaser, it wouldn't be Moshe Rabbeinu. You'd not be able to have Vayadaba Moshe El Ar Hashem, almost Al Ar Hashem. And that, of course, is what I say is an existential nexus of the Hog. Practically in any vocation you go to, but certainly when you're in the public limelight. How do you maintain your humility in the face of this giant challenge, and how do you maintain your strength and your vigor and able to wash out? It's my great pleasure to call out the names, and we have over here, and they will be distributed later in order to save time. And my very dear associates, and I can't really say enough about him, Rav Chaim Bronstein, who is really an Amud HaTzavah. The fourth year Halacha Lamaisa program, and we are giving copies of the latest Beis Yitzchak, which was just published about a week and a half ago. Rabbi Shlomo Grillman, who was coordinator, Rabbi Hershey Schachter, who did the segment on Eridan, Rabbi Mordechai Willard on Bishul Shabbos, Rabbi Abba Banspiegel and Gerasim Mila, Rabbi Moshe Pendler and Hefsher Kalin by Golat Kalin, and Rabbi J. David Life on Issues. Fourth year internship program. Here I feel a special joy in being able to mention names because my chaverim, I see them all the time, and they don't do it because I'm not the Kabbalah Cross. Not this, certainly. Rabbi David Batsus, Congregation H. Chaim in New Brunswick, who served as the mentor for Naftali Haleva. Rabbi Kenneth Hain of Congregation Beth Shalom Lawrence for Barry Gelman. Rabbi Raymond Harari, Congregation Shari Tzion for Yosef Azar. Rabbi Moshe Morochovitz of the Westside Institutional Synagogue for Shimon Solnica. Rabbi Jacob Schachter, the Jewish Center, Ari Berman. Rabbi Benjamin Schmelz, Murray Hill Synagogue, Daniel Green. Rabbi Mark Schneier, West Hampton Synagogue, West Hampton Abraham Unger. Rabbi Max Schreier, Avenue N Jewish Center, Brooklyn. Doe Schreier, I think it's a relative. Rabbi Avram White, there was a time when our program was very strict. We did not allow children of Rabbanim to serve their apprenticeship or their shimush with their fathers. But we've become a little lax. And we made some exceptions, especially when we felt the father can be an excellent mentor. Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, Orthodox Congregation of Philon, David M. Cohen. For the chaplaincy, Rabbi Stephen Kapnick, the Hebrew Home for the Aged, Gideon Schlush, that's in Fairfield, Connecticut. Rabbi Ira Cronenberg, who I just saw before, Daughters of Miriam Home, Eli Reback, Clifton, New Jersey. And really, the Daughters of Miriam was the beginning, the first peg in this large and also this first Shemesh program. Rabbi Shlomo Kripke, Princeton University, and of course, Asaf Betnash was the one who gave the shurim there this year. Education, Dr. Lazar Horowitz, Bernard Rebel Graduate School, Rafael Kastman, Dr. Ephraim Noman, Stern College for Women, and also for Yeshiva College, of course, Moshe Shapiro, Rabbi Alan Stettmauer, Yeshiva Flatbush, Joseph Azar, Rabbi M. Mitchell Seros, Foreign Student Advisor, Stephen Lindenblatt, and Benjamin Wiener. Rabbi Nissen Shulman, Reach Internet Development, David A. Schwartz. I have a feeling that as the years go by, we'll probably find 10 people under that rubric. Contemporary Halacha, Rabbi Yosef Lau, Parameters of Dr. Sholem Genetic Testing. I don't think you really have to see it because all of you should have a copy of these designations. So Rabbi J. David Blight, Rabbi Albert Brunspiegel, Rabbi Alfred Cohen, Rabbi Menachem Ginnack, Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, Rabbi Mordechai Tendler, Rabbi Moshe Tendler, Dr. Ronald Schwartz, and Rabbi Mordechai Willard. I'm sorry, Rabbi Mordechai. Oh, Dr. Ronald Warburg. What did I say? Oh, Dr. Ronald, I remember Ronald was a little boy. We used to be in the country together. So please forgive me. The Department of Rabbinic Training, Camp DeVere, Rabbi Hain, Rabbi Billet, Rabbi Mitchell Seros, again Rabbi Menachem Ginnack, Rabbi Jeremiah Warburg, Rabbi Yonatan Rosenblatt, who called especially. He was supposed to be here today, but he hasn't been well the last weekend, but Baruch Hashem, he's on the way to a complete report, Shlomo. Dr. Israel Miller,
chaplaincy, and Rabbi Schnei and Hilbert Stam. Dr. Herbert Dobrinsky could not be here. He has a Leviathan, one of the oldest Muslim of our yeshiva. Dr. Helfgott, Rabbi Helfgott, who pays Leviathan today. He must be close to 90. He remained in harness until now. And Rabbi Dobrinsky is delivering the eulogy. And Rabbi Helfgott was an outstanding rabbi. He was Al Mishmoro for 50, 60 years in movies. Mark Stern, I see him here, legal issues in the rabbinate, Rabbi Michael Miller, the dynamics of synagogue, school, and organization life, Rabbi Hirsch, Jewish education, Rabbi Butler, the union of Warsaw Jewish education, Rabbi Yaakov Lerner, Rabbi Avi Weiss, Rabbi Daniel Kramer, who's here, United Jewish Appeal Federation, Rabbi Grunblatt, the Holocaust, and myself. And then final examination. Congratulations to you all. I don't want to take any more of your time. Yemir Kashem. Yasher. Koach and the Reichs Club. Thank you. Representing the Smicha class, I call upon Rabbi Osher Lopatin, now of Chicago. To shoot Rosh HaYeshiva, Rashi Yeshiva, Rabbanim, Morim, Chaverim, anyone else here for the meal? As the oldest or nearly oldest member of the Reef class of 96, let an old man reminisce on 4 years at the yeshiva of Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. All these reminiscings come back with warmth, love, a smile, and good feeling. So please, no one should be offended. And if you are, I'm going back to Chicago at 4 o'clock today, so you'll have to take it up with me over pizza and a Bulls game or at Yeshiva's Brick to Chicago on Devon. To me, these memories, as disjointed as they are, add up to YU, to Reitz, to 4 years that have changed, shaped, and remolded my life. Some Torah, perhaps, at the beginning. And remembering 3.5 years ago, when Dr. Lamb addressed us, with the meaning of the pasuk in Parshat Vayetze, Machatati ki dalakta acharai, and the word dalakta, the fervor that Lavan had. So, briefly, let's recall some of the fervor that we at YU, at Reitz, have. Early on, I remember arguing over the merits of co-ed camps and their corrupting influence over people in day schools and first-year rabbinics, with Rabbi Dworkin jumping into the ring, defending, I don't know which side, but I think we all did. I remember the rude student, who at a town council, one of those meetings of students, called YU Talmidim Mesitim Medichim, and made Dr. Lamb furious, lose it, and rightly so. And yet Rabbi Blau was there to calm things down. I remember the fight in Rabbi Luchstein's class over style. I remember the fury of Rav Aaron and others over the gay march, a.k.a. the Israel Day Parade, and everyone's take on that. The storm created by Rabbi Karlach over the reason for the Rav going to University of Berlin, Rabbi Karlach's stunning explanation, followed by every other Rosh Hashiva's vehement reason for that historic choice of school. The fury over the peace process, Tehillim in the Beit Medrash, over the peace process, letters in the hallway signed by Rosh Hashiva. The Delek caused by the indecent English journal, it was Yeshiva College, it's not for here, but we're their mentors. I remember just last year, Rav Parnas's cassette lambasting Koed Shiurim at Grus and Koed Torah. All these things were delic for us at YU to keep us going. But I remember also the soothing moments, schmoozing with Rav Blau, seeing Rav Aaron Soloveitchik write a letter defending Rav Temler's reputation despite disagreements over brain death, hearing about a decapitated lamb giving birth in the video. I remember in contemporary halakha class, Rav Schechter Schlita's stand on the name of the Einstein Medical School and Rav Aaron's discussion about that, his admiration for Einstein. And I remember fighting, on a lighter note, fighting with the buildings and grounds, one of the building and ground managers, and Rabbi Dworkin's soothing words regarding his status in the animal kingdom. I remember Rav Goldsmith's soothing words on Yom HaTzma'ut after a tragic terrorist strike. His soothing smiles all the time, and hello. And I recall the soothing voice of Dr. Norman Lamb, Arosh HaYeshiva, and sometimes, very similarly, the soothing voice of his brother, Rabbi Maurice Lamb, our counseling teacher. The soothing voice of Rabbi Hurt, trying and begging people to apply for a Wexner Fellowship. And I remember the perks of Yeshiva University, all the free food on Yom Iyun. I remember Yom Iyun once, I was being frum and using a gallon of that water to wash into the dime, and Rav Temler telling me that really all you need is a raviv. I remember Lily fellowship trips to Kansas City, eating ribs in a restaurant in Kansas City, which is now unfortunately closed. I don't think it was a shaka problem, but it's closed. Going to Boca Raton and Sarah's Pizza, and stories of floods in Wilkes-Barre. But from these trips and these experiences, we saw life as a rabbi. We saw models. We saw Kenny Brander building an empire. And we saw Maurice Schwartz, Rabbi Schwartz, trying to build a shul and succeeding. And anytime we saw Ravain, anytime we saw Dr. Lamb in an elevator on the street, it was a thrill. Anytime we saw meeting Dr. Soloveitchik, Professor Soloveitchik in the Yum Yum shop once, discussing perceived immaturity of mustard on a deli sandwich, any of these encounters were rewarding. And then the wonderful times at Grup, a year which I think for me, YU came together. Seeing Barry Gellman, Doe Schreier, John Kroll in the basketball court, Josh Lookstein saying there were things going on in the game that were morally upset him. And every morning talking at breakfast about Rabbi Rakefet. And the tension in Rav Lichtenstein's shiur, waiting to see whom he would call on next. That was Delek. There was Delek in that shiur. And on a personal note, I am grateful for the joy of being set up by many of the Rebbeim whom I admire. Rabbi Reichman, Rabbi Heifetz. Dr. Lamb set me up with someone in his building. I'm honored. It wasn't the best date, but it was a beautiful building. And on a personal note, Yeshiva University was there for me and for others in times of great joy and in times of sadness. And that lasts with me, will last with me throughout my rabbinic career. Somehow YU was a place that brought together all these disparate
experiences. In a loose, open way, each candle burning independently, back to Hilakta, to this parsha, Baalotka. As Rashi says, Ad shetehei ashal hevet olam me'aleha. Doesn't mention lahadlikit ha-neirot, he'elah et neiroteha. Each one independently burning and standing on its own, but el mul pnei ha-menora, facing the Beit Medrash, facing the Torah of our Rebbeinu. Lahadlik implies clinging and chasing one another. And that's not that way, it's not that way at Yeshiva University. Everyone moves around Torah, around the Beit Medrash, but in different ways. Everyone is moving towards chinuch, towards pulpit, chaplaincy, or towards life, in completely different ways. At Yeshiva University, I discovered that frum people dress normal, that normal people dress frum, and no one follows rules at YU, or at least following the rules at YU is the exception to the rule. At Reach, somehow we're all like Avram Avinu. We walk lifnei Hashem, not acharei Hashem. And so now we hit the world with originality and creativity, questioning authority as we did during our 4 years here while accepting O Malchus Shemayim and O Torah. May the Neirot that reached in Yeshiva University, the Rebbeim, the Hanhala, and our Haverim lit within us, burn through the longest nights of any Tevet we may face, and inspire us and those after us to burn independently and brilliantly, with a sense of humor, perspective, Adviat HaGoel, and beyond. Thank you.
Vice President for Professional Education, I call upon Rabbi Eichler.
Dr. Lamb, Rashi Yeshiva, members of the administration, faculty, Talmidim, fellow Talmidim. I don't know how to respond, whether in terms of local seriousness or with a degree of perspective and humor that Asher projected before us, but it's refreshing, and I want to say yes, koach to you for your integrity and your honesty. Perhaps in the introduction it was not mentioned, but Asher came to us originally, I guess, from Boston or from Chicago, but with a commitment to get his PhD, which will be awarded from Oxford University. And for a person who takes his learning seriously and not himself so seriously, I think that is refreshing, and we thank him for his remarks. Today is a day of transition from one stage of our learning to another, from Rav in a small sense to Rav in a larger sense. Many of our Talmidim are already teachers. They are practicing in pulpit, as Asher, who is Rav in the community in Chicago, doing exceedingly well. To others who will assume their pulpits, and those who will go into chinuch for teaching yeshiva, those who will enter the chaplaincy, whether on a campus or in the military or in a hospital. And Asher portrayed very vividly today the variety of experiences and the preparation to serve Achenu called Beis Yisrael, that in some cases are doing very well, and others that are in need of great assistance and great leadership. The placements that we acknowledge today are really a reflection of commitment of many in this room, but I want to pay particular tribute to Rabbi Nissen Shulman and Rabbi Mordechai Sommer, who have worked diligently with the members of the class, along with Rabbi Settle and other members of staff, to be able to help you reach the appropriate position. I want to also acknowledge, even though it was done earlier today, of the dedication of the Beit Yitzchak in honor of Rabbi Bronstein. Rabbi Bronstein, who is really a dear friend to all the Talmidei Yeshiva and members of the administration, functions with proper anivas, but with a yud, with really yirat shamayim and devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we acknowledge the wisdom of our Talmidim in recognizing this person's commitment, devotion, and competence. One of the outstanding features of the Smicha program, really because in a sense it's almost a makra patish, is in the fourth year. And there is a partnership there for the fourth year between Rabbi Droman's diligent monitoring of the development of the learning in the fourth year and a Chaver Tov, Muslim Chavar Yeshiva, who really pioneered the development of the internship program in a serious way, Rabbi Shlomo Krupka. To see the working together of the DCS staff and the Reitz administration together with the Rosh Yeshiva, and to bridge the internal world of the Yeshiva, which is a world unto itself, the priority world, all of us, and the community outside, and how to work together with a mentor, how to work with people, how to report back what your experiences are every day, and knowing that all of those things outside are still seen within the context of one's learning in the Yeshiva. That's the most healthy example for our Talmidim. And we're very grateful to Rabbi Krupka for his years of service. He will be leaving at the end of this Zman to assume a position at the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations. We wish him much hatzlacha, and it will be a pleasure to know that we have another ally in the Union. I'm pleased to make an announcement. Since the fourth year always has or this luncheon, and the Sivat Mareyan always has an element of, I would say, a Tzilas HaDerech and a Bench and Goymel, so the beginning and to the end. We want to welcome a new member of our staff who I think will bring a great deal of ability and devotion to the task, future rabbi to us. David Israel will be assuming the position of Director of Pre-Rabbinics at DCS this year. In Asher's remarks, he spoke about things that are disparate, which implies, to some extent, a disjointedness. The uniqueness of this luncheon is perhaps that it occurs only at the end of the year, although there is a similar gathering of first-year students at the beginning of the year. But it's not unique to note that Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbanim and Talmidim are unified in a single purpose. And perhaps that is what Chazal wants to tell us in looking at the menorah, of Zemah, the menorah, mixture. This mixture, this sense of the menorah being cast from one unified whole, as opposed to various parts being fused together. The Rabban points out to us that the uniqueness of the menorah is that while it consisted of many parts, the only halacha of the doros is that the menorah should be mixture. It doesn't deal with the kafurim and it doesn't deal with the zohar, and we know there were different types of menorahs that were cast over the years. But the concept of mixture, of everything coming from a unified whole, where there is not this compartmentalization of life, where I'm a Talmud and then I'm a Rav, I'm a Talmud Chacham and I'm a professional, I'm inside the yeshiva and outside. That kind of divisiveness, which we see sometimes between what we call the town and gown, is not healthy. And the sense of cohesiveness, the organic whole that we get today, that we see today, that there is only mixture, there is only one purpose, and that is for us to be able to go out and to strengthen Klal Yisrael, to strengthen the community, to see that the yeshiva is stronger. And that is our singular purpose. I would say that in order to accomplish that, it requires leadership. And I wonder if we were sitting on the fifth floor in Rabbi Lamb's office,
and looking at a community out there that is split in so many directions. And even within the yeshiva, pulling in so many different directions to give the Talmud the very best that he can get in learning and in development in the Yiras Shamayim, and a sense of community responsibility. I wonder how we would look down upon that world and say, is it possible really to maintain miksha, that it should have a unified purpose? The function of the Kohen Gadol was to make sure that Kinei Mitzvah and Torah are, which is the goal of the menorah, and which is the goal of our yeshiva, indeed will fulfill its purpose. Certainly our Kohen Gadol, our Nasi, and Rosh Yeshiva has brought a great deal of devotion and of achievement to make it possible for us to sit in the yeshiva every day and do what we do, despite the turmoil outside, with a sense of cohesiveness, a sense of shlemus. And we're grateful to him, and it's my pleasure to call upon him to address us at this time around nothing but.
Kol Rashi Yeshiva, Rabbanim, graduates, friends. I don't often get up to speak with a feeling of defensiveness, but I'm still reeling under that charge of not making the appropriate recommendations to Usher Lopatin. Usher, I want to assure you, I've had others, and I've succeeded sometimes. So whenever you're ready, let me know. I'm pleased to thank the mentors, those who've given of their time and their talents and themselves to help our new mismachim prepare for the world out there, both in halacha and in other ways, in more practical ways, in the sense of communal ways, professional ways. And I want you to know that our Talmidim appreciate it, we appreciate it, I appreciate it. I'm here to give you advice. The older I get, I must tell you, the less I feel inclined to give advice. But having been in the Rabbonis for a quarter of a century and then in Yeshiva for close to 20 years, I've learned a little bit, just a little, about the Rabbonim, which includes those in Kehillas and those in Chinuch, and just a few words to our newly minted Rabbonim. Rabbi Hertz already indicated that we live in times of great stress in the Jewish community. I'm not telling you anything new. You'll find as you get out into that world, whether it's the classroom or the congregation, that the life you led here, no matter how you feel that you learned a lot about the community, was really in a cocoon. You were protected here, it's a protected environment. You heard only cliche-y or cliche-y of what's happening in the community. Well, it's worse out there. But that means that the challenge is greater. And I must tell you that the latest news from Israel about the stunning victory of the religious parties, which makes all of us feel so happy and proud, rightly so, may turn out to be less than favorable, especially in its impact upon American Jewry. I don't want to go into details, this isn't that time for that discussion, but please believe me that there are consequences that we may have to pay because of it. Except that less brera, I'd rather win than lose, and pay the consequences of winning. A lot will depend upon the wisdom of religious, political people in Israel, a wisdom that doesn't always surface at the right time. But in thinking about your future, let me begin with something that the Kutka said. The Kutka in his mature years remarked somewhat whimsically and wistfully that when I was a young man starting out, he said, I had an ambition. The ambition was to raise the earth to the level of the heavens. I want to take the entire world and infuse it with a kind of kedusha that should make a heaven here on earth. As I got a bit older, I decided, listen, I can't do that. But I'll be satisfied if I can do it for this whole country. A little elder, a little older, I said, not for the whole country, but for the city. I can change the whole city and raise them to a level. Then I thought that that's not going to be my destiny. So I was satisfied if I can do it for my chassidim. didn't work. I said, my mishpacha. Because now I'll be very satisfied if I can change myself. There's a great deal of wisdom in that statement, but I have my corollary. And my corollary is that if Akuska did not start out as a young man wanting to change the entire world, he would not at the end of his day have been able to change himself. What I'm trying to say to you is that you've got to have great ambitions. You've got to have terrific ambitions. You have to have ambitions that far outdistance and outpace your talents. You've got to have ambitions that your Rebbeim will never agree you have the ability to fulfill. The Talmud of the Kuska, the Ishvita, wrote that the Pasuk says, "V'lo al alechem levado yichyeh adam." Man does not live by bread alone. Why am I translating to you? I don't know. "V'lo al alechem levado yichyeh adam." So yes, Ishvita says, "In what then? If not on bread, what then?" So he says, "V'lo al alechem levado," not on the word "bamitches man" alone, as it is. Elamai, you have to mafreya. Lo al alechem, but yes, on, not on lamed ches men, but yes, on ches lamed men, on dreams, on cholam. Lechem alone is not enough. You have to cholam. You've got to have great dreams. Because without great dreams, you can't live. Gemara says, whoever sleeps for 7 days without dreaming, without a cholam, the Gemara Brocha says, hadi yirasha. Because you're yirasha if you don't have dreams. Because you're satisfied with the status quo. And you take a look at reality and the world around you, any world around you, how can you be satisfied? You've got to have dreams to surpass it, to transcend it, to elevate it, make it grow. I have a complaint against the mitzvah of the yeshiva, and I've got my nevi'im b'shocha. And it's you're just too much, I don't mean you here. You're just too modest. You're too modest. Your ambitions are too subdued. I don't find enough entrepreneurial spirit. I don't find enough dreaming. You don't want to raise the heavens, the earth to the heavens. And you should. Because if you're not going to do it, who then is going to do it? And if you're not going to start dreaming about it now, what's going to happen when you're 40 years older? And you look back upon a career. And who's going to do the job that has to be done in the world? You know, in Seistin School, we are talking now about an entrepreneurial institute. Not everyone has to travel the maslul, the regular routine of going and getting a job in a business and growing up and finally becoming the CEO of a middle-sized organization or a vice president of General Motors. There's another way to do it, to build your own business. Why do I have to have General Motors? I'll be General Motors. I would like to see, I wish there were some way of teaching that entrepreneurial spirit to our mitzmachan, I mean all of you. I mean you and your predecessors and the forthcoming classes. There is so much to do about building Yiddishkeit here in America, let alone Eretz Yisrael. But building, let's take America, there is so much to do. And we're not doing it properly. Look at Lubavitch. I look upon them, I'm green with envy. Young men are taken, and they're just sent out into the field and say, yes, for 1 year we support you, you're on your own afterwards. You go to Hong Kong, you go to Australia, you go to New Zealand, all over the world, and you're on your own, and they do it. They manage to swim. They throw it into the water and they swim. They do it because of that behavior, but we don't have that behavior. But where is the inner compulsion, the inner desire to make great things? It doesn't have to be that you're going to go get a job part-time in a Talmud Torah, and then you're going to go into a day school, and you're going to become a teacher in the elementary school, and you're going to work your way up to become into the high school, and then someday you'll be made a principal. It's not enough. I want to see people go out into the field and build new schools on your own. After a little bit of experience, you have to have more dreams. And our bonus is not mean simply to get a job and then hope to get back to New York or another big city. It means to go ahead and take an ordinary kehillah and make of it a kehillah kedosha. And you have to have dreams about doing that not only for one community, but for an entire city and for an entire country. Not only am I talking about world, but you have to have ambitions that are going to raise the levels of the entire community, the entire Jewish community. It means new schools and new shuls and new mitzvahs and new organizations. Because organizations have a way of outliving their usefulness. There are organizations that exist that don't know that they've died a long time ago. And they got to be replaced by new kinds of constellations that will fulfill new needs in new situations. Because the world is always changing. So you've got to have dreams on a large scale, an ambitious scale. You've got to finish all of Shas. You've got to write Sforim. You've got to pass the Shabbos through a whole Sivva. Those are big dreams. And sometimes I find that we're afraid of them. We're afraid of dreaming big. And that really is terrible. So my first appeal to you is, before you settle down into what you want to do in life, take another look at it and try to be a little more ambitious for yourselves. And should you feel that I'm appealing to your ego, let me tell you I am. Get your ego involved in it. Make a career and a name for yourselves. There's nothing wrong with it. Chaim Voloshin says that when Chazal said, "La'olam yehi adam oisek b'tara mitzvah shelo lishma shemitah shelo lishma bo lishma," he says, "La'olam, you've got to do it that way. If you don't have that yeshahara and that shelo lishma that's going to drive you to fulfill your, to satisfy your own ego needs and give you a name, then what you're going to do for the lishma is going to be very weak." I remember when son came into the Rav's class, the second Tzaddik of Bracha, and he asked me in Shir, he asked me something, and I was very intimidated. In those days of the Rav was a terror. I was very intimidated, and I didn't really answer what he wanted. I just gave him a more conventional answer. And he blew up at me, and he says, "The trouble with you is that you come into the class with your Yetzer Tov, and the Yetzer Hara, you check at the door, bring your Yetzer Hara into class." And that is, if you have the shalom lishma, then you'll bring the power of the ego into your l'shem shamayim, and that will do the trick. So, do that. Now, I know that some people will feel that they don't have the ability to do it. They'll feel that they may be frustrated. Don't be afraid of frustration. Some frustration is good for everybody. After all, any great achievement requires risk. If you're not going to take a chance and risk anything, then you're not going to achieve anything. But even for those who feel they just don't have the capacity for such ambitiousness, let me tell you something else. Let me tell you that Avodas HaKodesh has something that no other field of endeavor in the world has. And that is that if you take it seriously and you're sincere, that you can have tremendous victories every day. You can have achievements that are incredible as you go on, because there are so many things that one can do. You know, about 100 years ago, the Chaim Briska came to Varsha, to Warsaw, and he went to visit, or at least he met, the Gerer Rebbe. The Gerer Rebbe then must have been the Sfas Emesayasi. And it was in this parsha, the time of Parshas Baalotra. So the Chaim said to the Gerer Rebbe, he said, "You know, I have a kasha." He said, "Because there's a mitzvah, one of the Tayag mitzvahs is to turn the light of the menorah every day. L'hadlikas menorah is a mitzvah." But the Medrash says in Tanchuma and Tetzava, the Medrash says that Rav Chinas Gana Kahanan said that Maisa Nisim Haya B'menorah, and the Nes, what was the Nes? They would be madlik the menorah on Rosh Hashanah, and it would last all year long till the next year. So he says, so what happens to the mitzvah say of Hadlokas Neres? How can you explain it? How can they allow? The Nes took away the ability to perform the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neres, of Hadlokas HaMenorah. So the Gerer Rebbe says, on the basis of a Gemara and Beis Chavdeis, that if you add a tipa of shemen to a ner hadole, you're chayav mishamavim. It's an avolah. Even if there's only one drop, you're chayav mishamavim. Therefore, he said, what they did was that Taka is lasted from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. But they came in and they added one drop of oil every day. So with that one drop of oil, they were able to be Mekayim and Nisra being Madlika Senera, so the menorah, and at the same time it was Maitre Nisim because the drop lasted the whole day. Incidentally, the same kasha is also asked by the Meir Arik. But it's an answer that appeals to me very much. Because it means that if you just do the right tipa in the right place, if you add a drop of Yiddishkeit into the heart of an estranged Jew, if you add a drop of kavod for Am Yisrael in the eyes of a goy, if you take a child and teach one pasuk chumash in a way that will give him great pleasure and understanding, if you teach a youngster one taisvah that he didn't know before, if you take one adult who was alienated, then you bring him close, and he'll bring his family close. You mekayim hazlokas and eros. You're lighting up a Jewish neshama. And you've got to understand, no place else in the world and no other field of endeavor can you get that tremendous satisfaction. And it's there for the asking. These are treasures that you can pick up and enrich your own lives with them. So, try for the best. Try for most. But remember that there's a great deal of satisfaction in the small, so-called small victories, which are really great. You're embarking on careers which are fantastic. Don't look to have great monetary rewards. It won't come your way in the kind of things we are involved in. But there are tremendous spiritual, psychological, existential rewards that are greater than anyone else can know. But remember that you have an obligation to yeshiva, an obligation to Torah, an obligation to the people, the anonymous people who have made it possible for you to learn in yeshiva, I mean the supporters, an obligation to Klal Yisrael, to change the face of this community, to leave it far better than what you found it. It's a rough life out there, but the challenge is great, but we're from Tzara Adra. The more you'll try, the more you'll succeed. So may the Rabbanu Shalom grant you the health, the years, the vigor, the creativity, the loyalty, to be able to prove that our confidence in you was not misplaced. Indeed, that it was vindicated by the kind of people you will become, the kind of Jews you will raise, and the kind of community you will bring into being.
Whatever that was said. In the short 2 years that I have been at Yeshiva personally, I've grown to appreciate and to recognize the value, not only of what we always felt that we had here, but the new things, the new spirit of innovation and dedication to learning that there is here in the Yeshiva. We have much of which to be proud, but personally, in the department that I'm involved with, I'd like to personally thank Rabbi Hirsch for his guidance and leadership. Rabbi Halap and Rabbi Chaim Bronstein for their direction and support. Rabbi Dworkin, with whom I'm on the telephone almost every day, and who is presently running an important convention of the Rabbinical Council of America, to which I'm sure all the students who are now musmachim should come, and immediately, if you're not a member of the RCA, you should join. Am I right, Rabbi Dworkin? Oh, good. All right. The members of the placement committee that helps so devotedly in the work that we try to do, and last but not least, after many omissions, Rabbi Schreier, who symbolizes to me loyalty to the yeshiva, symbolizes by virtue of his single-minded dedication to the organization he now heads of the rabbinic cabinet, of how Rabbanim in the field, for many, many years in the field, are always ready without any caveat to answer the call of yeshiva. And in fact, just as his answer is Hineni, I plead to all the proud Musmachim that not only your pride be developed and increased and enhanced, but your loyalty to our yeshiva grow ever more strongly in the future in that spirit and in that model. And now to conclude, I would like to ask David Schwartz, David Schwartz, who is a member of the Musmachim class, is a Kohen, and so we will call upon him to lead us in the Birchas HaMazon.